to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stacking Jacks. I'm Tom Ali. He's Mr. Weber on the board. S&P futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 186. I'm sorry, NASDAQ futures up 75. Dow futures up 186. Frank, how are you?
Good. Those numbers reflect a 2% range since we opened last night.
I saw them up. Were they down at one point?
Oh, yeah. Like 1%.
Well, we were down. Right now, it's almost exactly how much we lost in the last, I'm going to say, 10 minutes on Friday. A huge dive down on the close. Spiders were down like $3 or something.
So, I think people were afraid of what was going to happen at the rally.
Well, yeah, it's very difficult to figure out why the market's doing what it's doing. But as usual, Microsoft and Apple up this morning. I mean, the constant drone of the bigger firms doing better than the other firms is relentless. I mean, I don't know how it's all going to 10 years from now what it's all going to look like, Frank. But it's an odd thing to watch. I mean, the secret. I think the guys that are the absolute secret monopolist is Microsoft. I mean, they've managed to stay under the radar because they don't need social stuff, but boy, oh boy, I mean, they people are still paying by the month for Office, for God's sake, after all these years.
Yeah, it's not as if you can't get a free equivalent.
But I mean, who uses one? I mean, unless this one comes with your machine. If you buy a new machine, it's probably part of it. You probably already paid for it. I even know you paid for it. I mean, it's the absolute definition of integration, right? Vertical integration.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy the movie theater, you got to buy the movie. You know, it's whatever. It's just the way it sort of is. What do you make of? There's a lot of stuff in the news. What do you think of?
No kidding.
I know. What do you think the chances are? And this is for you or Maddie. What do you think the chances are that when we come to the presidential election, neither one of these guys are the candidates?
Boy, well, first of all, they have to live. And so what's the book on them, you know, making it?
To November?
You know, from a mortality and morbidity standpoint.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I've not seen Joe doing much. Doesn't mean he's, you know, failing or anything. I just haven't seen him doing much. And
well, that's probably a good strategy right now.
Well, I think
because,
it is, too.
Right now, Trump is the definition of being hoisted on one's own petard.
Well, yeah, he is his own worst enemy. There's no question about that. But
and now he's, you know, if you can't deal with a bunch of tweens pranking you, what can you do against Russia or North Korea?
I think things are somewhat unglued. I don't know if it's all his fault, but matter of fact, I'd say it probably isn't all his fault. I mean, people, it's kind of been coming
They're
for a long
guys.
Time. But I mean, what we're seeing in the world, Frank, is that didn't just happen in the last 3 years. I mean, this is
no.
I mean, it's like matter of fact, I was fortunate enough, it'll be on in a little bit, to have an adult beverage with Mr. John Flanagan last night, and we were just talking about, you know, when things started to come a little crazy, and you talk about you know, when in the 80s and 90s when I was on committees at the CBOE, just talking about morality. We were talking about the guy in New York being tossed and everybody, and then he didn't want to leave, and there's somebody else, they tried to put the SEC guy in there who I think is, you know, I don't know what, these people get these jobs and you wonder what do they even know about trade and what do they know about anything? What do they care? And what is their motivation? Is it just all the drive, all the trading to four or five places?
Money.
It just seems to be, but I mean, there's no sense of, of, if you ask these guys, well, would you rather have a market where 50 or 60% of the trades are customer to customer, or somebody front runs it all? They'd look at you like you had four heads. What are you talking about? They wouldn't even know what you and I were talking about. Or if they did, right, they sure as hell would pretend like they didn't. What do you mean? What's wrong with somebody front running every order and every trade taking place twice if somebody, you know, I mean, they think it's fine. Anyway, but John and I were saying that when I was on, I was a committee chair forever at the CBOE. It was, membership for a while, and then it was, this crazy MTS, the specialist committee, even though they didn't call it that. And then I was, marketing for a long time. And the, and I was telling John last night, I said, when I first started, if you had anything, this was the morality of traders. If there was a vote of anything in your committee regarding a crowd, anybody who was in that crowd, you threw in the hallway. You never voted or even part of the discussion, depending on the topic. You didn't even talk about it if it affected you. So in my first year on the MTS, Dr. J, my buddy, he's the first DPM that's on a committee, right? He spent he spent two-thirds of the year in the hallway. We used to set him cookies out there to make sure he didn't lose out on the cookies. I didn't want him part of the vote if he was part of whether he was going to get something or not. Well, as the next year, there's a couple more guys on there, and you want to boot them out, and they're like, what are you talking about? That's why I'm here, to vote my own stuff. That's why my boss wants me on this committee. You think I want to be here? It was the whole world somehow changed. You know, as people become more and more, when people became part of corporations and they stopped being their own trader, I mean, whatever it was, I mean, the morality totally changed. No, I'm here to vote my own best interest. That's why I'm on this stupid committee. It's totally different.
Corporations definitely have changed over time. You have locally headquartered corporations, and they contributed to the common good. Look what Cummins Engine did to Columbus. That stuff's gone. That money goes into the guys' pockets. I've mentioned this before. I had a VP of marketing for Unioil, lived on our block. Post-World War II housing development, you know, lived next to guys who worked at Studebaker. And he was probably making 50 grand a year when my dad was making 22 grand a year working at, you know, teaching at Notre Dame. Charlie Kramer right now, as head of marketing for a Fortune 100 firm, would be making, what, 5 million, 6 million?
Something like that. It'd be hundreds of times what a regular worker was making.
Right. And the guys who worked for Unioil, guess what? They were in a union. And the town was bustling because of places like that. No, there's no ethical component to capitalism or capital, it seems, right now.
Well, the ethics part, it comes down to, and I will say this, and many kick me if you think I'm nuts. It has to do, if you are part of a community, there was a guy, I can't find him anywhere, but they must be someplace. There was a dude here in Chicago that owned a button manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And he was like the third generation, and his commercials, I've been trying to find them, and I'm pretty awful at finding stuff like that. He would talk about how that it's not just him. It's the workers, it's their kids going to school, it's the schools that he supports because of the tuition his people can pay, and how it all works together. And I think if you have a long enough time frame, you don't really have to worry if the people are, I won't say local, because they can be statewide or whatever. I don't think you have to worry about stuff like pollution, because the board is smart enough to know that if we pollute something and we're going to be here 50 years, we're going to get caught. And oh, by the way, the cost of cleaning anything up is way worse than not doing it in the first place. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, if you're cleaning up, what was the firm out there? Wasn't Outboard Marine. Who the hell was the guys that made the outboard motors that polluted Waukegan Harbor?
I forget if it was Mercury or Evan Rude.
One of those guys. And Manny, the cost that they hit these guys up to clean it up was 10 times whatever they saved by polluting the harbor. So, I mean, if you're down that road, that's why, you know, everybody wants to be, you know, you want the company taken over by somebody overseas or something, and then they just do whatever they want, and your local law enforcement, even state law enforcement, is powerless. It's just a different. So you can't blame it all on the last year or two or three. People have you can't blame a government for being out there and not paying their debts when half the people in the country are living on their debts too. That's the style, right? Nobody cares. You would think there would be outrage if among the citizenry, if you knew the government was going to go out on a limb and borrow money. But as long as you send them a check, they don't care. And how many people, when you got your $1,200 check, realized that the $1,200 just went on the money you owe someday, somewhere? Right? Nobody put that two and two together. I won't say nobody, but not very many people. Because you're so used to saying, every single time the corporations get everything, and finally once I get a check, at least now I'm a piece of the largesse, right? And this has been the first time to Trump's, his benefit, the first time anybody, I can't remember getting a check ever before, can you?
No.
So, it's not like, this time around, the powers to be, the Congress on both sides of the aisle, even though they probably don't like each other, the fact is, they did try and bring some of this money down to the lower businesses. It has to be one of the first times I've actually seen that happen. Have you?
I've never seen a check made out to me that was that way. Usually it had to filter through different layers of bureaucracy, I would think.
Yeah, people grabbing grabbing a piece of it along the way.
Rather than right now, where it's just one layer and it's gone.
Right. But,
these corporations that are getting billions, these guys selling their apartments in New York City, no.
No. Well, but
or in Greenwich, no. They feel no pain at all.
Well, but I guess the...
As Jane Byrne once came up with the perfect description for these people, a cabal of evil men.
Yep. Well, that's... But how do you change it, Frank? That's the question. When obviously people will say, the correct but really ignorant answer is, geez, you got to get out and vote. Okay,
Yeah, you do. But part of the problem is they're doing everything they can to keep people from voting. Cutting down the number of polling places from 610 to like 40 in Louisville. Now, come on, do you think it's happening in the white suburb?
No, but I wouldn't know what to do if they moved a spot down the block, maybe. I'm so used to wandering down the block. I don't know if I'd travel.
Yeah.
But it's so convenient for us. It literally
and
is
they,
50 yards.
And they're reducing it in places where people have to work, can't travel, and they're trying to stop absentee ballots. First thing we should do is give a day off for voting.
Why don't we just vote on a Sunday like they
like
do in
Europe? Rest of the world.
Well, don't they vote on Sunday?
Some places do. But then we're going to have people say that violates their religious rights. One thing I know is every time people talk about their religious rights being violated, it's a lie.
Well, the Catholics would...
Segregation. I realized that when I heard people justifying segregation and more based on the Bible.
Well, as long as you did that. It on Sunday, the Catholics don't care. They'll give you an hour off to vote. It's on Saturday... The devout Jewish guys still want the whole day. They don't do anything. So they're
right.
You can do it on Sunday.
And probably, I don't know if Seventh Day Adventists vote, but fine, accommodate people. If it's so important, make it easier.
I still
don't
am convinced.
Don't put up roadblocks.
Well, coming from Chicago, I still am not convinced, even though many will argue with me. Is the trade off for you voting by mail? That they have to know who you are so they know how you're voted. Is that the deal? Because you must have to identify yourself somehow on that ballot. I've never done it, so I don't know.
That's correct.
Early voting? I don't think so. I think they just tick off your, that you voted. That's what they do. They don't necessarily track the votes themselves.
No, but they could. They know it's you.
Yeah, they could, but Excuse me. Google And any other buddy, you know, all the data aggregators know everything about us anyway.
Well, but
so
I mean,
if I fill out something online, I think Google would know before Cook County Board of Elections does.
Are you, by the way, have you noticed the first guy to mention this to us was our friend Kevin. How many years ago did he say we should use this DuckDuckGo, Manny? Like four?
He was ahead of the game on it. Now it's become huge.
Are they public? I should know that.
I don't know.
You. But have you ever tried that? Does it work?
I personally have never tried it, but it
I haven't either.
Seems to work.
It's all right. So, Frank, we have the market here. We're up almost exactly. I got us up 17 on the S&Ps. I was absolutely stunned on Friday the sell off on the close. We dropped like 25 points, so we're right back to where we were, say, at 2:45. I don't know. Are we slowing down here, or what are we doing? The Fed hasn't come up with any new trillionses in the last week. Do we need a trillion-dollar announcement a month now to keep it going, or is there enough momentum?
But there seems to be enough momentum. There's still, you know, some money in the system. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, but I have been for a year.
I have been for quite a while. I mean,
yeah, and it's like, how do we fight this? Or do we fight it?
Well, I don't think you do. I mean, I'm still putting people's money to work, and the only thing I'm doing is I'm keeping the protection very tight. If we run up, we roll the puts up, and that's what we're doing. And it's worked out. I mean, I don't know the actual numbers, but it's because everybody's got an individual account, different indices, but it's been we've actually made some money. A couple times we've, you know, turned and gone the other way and had a big down day. We've been able to roll our stuff back down and actually make money on the protection, which you don't really expect to do, but when it happens, it's nice. And we've been very selective with our call selling. We're still selling stuff way out of the money. And the only one we're caught in a little bit, Frank, is Q's. Q's are 243, and I think we're short the, I don't know, 239s, 240s or something. So not horrible. But you know.
Well, as long as Apple and Microsoft keep on going up like that, yeah, it's going to be problematic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like we're short.
Is Amazon 220. In the Q's?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Walmart is going after them. That was announced at the end of the week and this week.
Going after them and doing what? They've been going after them for years.
They're going to redouble their competition. They're bringing in outside people, a lot more outside people, allowing them to sell on their platform. And that's a big part of Amazon's sales.
How does
the cut that they get from people who sell through the Amazon platform.
I'm just kind of curious, why is eBay, who started the whole thing, they have all kinds of people on their platform, why are they not even considered a competitor now by most people? I mean, why, if you want to buy something, you go on eBay and buy it.
Yeah, it's. I've bought stuff on eBay, and I don't like it, because if I have a problem, it's a problem.
You know what? I bought like one or two things on Amazon, and it was a problem. They didn't back up stuff that was a third party. People say they do, but they didn't for me.
I don't disagree.
I bought the original computer we bought for Stacks and Jacks. Remember, Manny? Whoever the guy was that set the thing up for us wanted us to buy an Apple. And he gave us the model number and everything, and so we buy the thing from somebody. I thought it was from Amazon. This is a long time ago. And we get it, and the thing doesn't really want to work right. So we call Apple, and they go, we're not servicing it, because even though it was the right model number, it was over a year old when the guy sold it to you. So they weren't going to honor the guarantee. Apple wasn't. And so we call Amazon, and they're like, what are you asking us for? We came from a third party. Who was the guy? I don't know. I was like, okay. It was like, you're just bleep out of luck. So that was my last episode of Amazon. It was it's not that I hold a grudge, being Irish, you know. Frank, just saying. But
you're talking to somebody that's Irish, Hungarian, and German.
Yeah, it's as bad.
There's
as
a laundry list of grudges.
Yeah, it's what do they say about Irish people in the nursing homes? You know, you hate that guy. You can't remember why. But I really don't see a problem here, Frank. You have two issues. One is, and I don't know. Well, I've been trying to dig up, as you know, I was doing research all the time on this. The difference between what I consider to be inflationary stuff now and back in the 70s, that started sort of on the retail side in oil and food and so forth. This has started, it started really in medical care here, correct? And in tuition. And in taxes. So it never really hit the CPI because it was very easy to just say, well, guess what? You know, medical stuff is still 6% of people's basket even though it's 20% of the economy. It's simple, but it's ignorant and it's lying to people. But that's what they're doing. And they have been for a while. But if you were to ask me seriously 5 years ago and said, where's the end of this? And I would probably have said, and I will say again today, when even they can't deny it anymore and we get 2 months in a row of 1.5 or 2% CPI numbers, that's when this game ends. And I think
have you bought meat in the past couple of weeks?
Well, I'm saying we're getting very, very close. Very close.
I do the shopping for the family. The small hams at Costco went up $1 a pound. The 6-pound packs of sirloin steak burgers, organic sirloin steak burgers, used to be $16.95. They were $21.95. I mean, this is since the last time I bought them. Price after price after price is up 10-20%.
Oh yeah, at least
on meat.
So what? The organic steak burgers, are they grown on a tree or what?
I don't know. Taste good.
You're just buying the word organic.
It's not that big of a difference.
You're just buying
it comes from cows that don't fart.
Oh god. What did the guy say? We had the guy in from. What dairy was that? Four Oaks, maybe? The guy in Indiana, right? The amount of how many gallons of milk a week does a cow give you? It's like, didn't he say something like 70 something out of a non organic cow and 40 something out of an organic cow? It's a massive difference, Frank. In what they eat and whatever they give them on the non organic side.
Well, I'm sure they give them like estrogen or something. I mean, the amount of hormones they give.
Well, does organic mean non-hormone?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's strict definitions and all that stuff, actually. But you wonder what the inspection is.
We're too old to really know what the nuances are. But they have, you know, are there's state laws, there's federal laws. You know, what can you call organic? You can call anything natural.
Speaking of which, as I was riding the expressway this week, which is total anarchy. I'm driving 70 in my Suburban in a 55 zone, and I'm like a stagecoach. literally.
Or 94 has been like that for 20 years.
But you never see, as we sink into anarchy, which nobody wants police anymore. So in Minnesota, they're going to pull out the metal detectors and the policemen from school. Are we that far? Which I never thought were all that good of an idea anyway, but. Are we that far away from school shootings, though? That that's never going to happen again? You know, I don't know. I hope not. But last week...
God.
Last week, total...
You know, is the problem guns? Or is it, you know, metal detectors? There's another solution in there that we're ignoring.
We're ignoring a lot of solutions. But last week in Chicago, when we don't need a police force, shot and killed 24... Shot and wounded, total shot 137. That's unconscionable.
June. On the weekend, 62 people were shot.
Yeah, well, this is the week total is 137. So you have to figure Friday night to. When does the weekend end, according to these guys? Hey, Jackass, what is it, Matty? It's Friday at 6 to Monday morning at 6 or something? Something like that.
I've never been on the website, but.
But June to date, total shot 371. What is it? Today's the 21st? 22nd?
22nd, yeah.
I mean, it's...
So when are we going to have an honest discussion about guns as a problem? When are we going to allow the CDC to actually compile statistics on gun shootings?
Well, here, there's all kinds of statistics on this thing. You know how many people were shot?
We don't have any epidemiological statistics. There was a law passed by Congress preventing it.
Well, here's when you read, sometimes, I remember there was a Star Trek
Excuse
episode.
Excuse me, preventing the funding of.
Or at least the ammunition. So, Maddie, we had, there was a Star Trek episode where they were trying Captain Kirk, right? So, he's got this lawyer, this old crazy lawyer, and they start reading off his record. And of course, he's got this, this medal, this accommodation, this, and this. And the lady attorney who's prosecuting, she says, we submit that we concede of Captain Kirk's incredible record. So we don't need to hear this stuff. And the other guy says, wait a minute, we need to hear a little more. So they hear like five more stuff, and he makes his point, and he goes, I want the wheels of justice to turn rapidly. That's why I'm going to run over my client. You know. So sometimes you have to look at this stuff on Friday night, for God's sake. 920, 1300 California, 950, 4800 West Gladys, three people shot there, one dead. 1025, 4100 West Conference, 1055, 5400 South. This is every 5 and 10 minutes on a Friday and Saturday night.
You keep on going Garfield Park, Douglas Park. I mean, there's, you know, it goes to parts of the city.
It goes till, matter of fact, on Saturday morning, the last guy gets shot in the morning at, let's see what time, 6:15 a.m. Everybody must have gone to sleep, daylight or something. 2800 South, between 12:45 Saturday night and 6:15 in the morning, there's got to be 15 people. You know, this is, and we've decided no police is the answer. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I
don't think it's no police.
Well, it's something. Some people are
saying no police, but that's an I think a hyperbole.
Well, I've heard people
say
that.
And so it's defunding. I think it's repurposing.
Oh, that.
No, I don't think we need to be spending money on troop carriers and a bunch of.
That would make sense.
Them arms of the army.
All right, Frank, we got a dash, but we'll talk about it next week. We'll
okay,
take this one.
Okay,
SP Futures up 17. NASDAQ Futures up 68. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Loan up against Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollies, Mr. Bill Weber on the board. SP Futures up 17 a quarter, NASDAQ Futures up 68. Again, this is like the amount we lost in the land on the close Friday for some unusual reason. We've got around the rest of the world, we've got, I've got a different page up here. We've got the DAX down 71, that's 0.6%. They are, down 0.2% on the year. Okay, we got the FTSE down 22, that's 0.4%. They're down 15% on the year, in case anybody wants a little review. Kekaran is down 33, that's 0.7%. It's down 10% on the year. Asia Pacific, we've got the Nikkei down 41, that's 0.2%. They're actually up 5.5% on the year, up 10% on the month. Hang Seng is down 132.5%, so they're down almost 14% on the year, so they're different directions. And the Shanghai 300 index is up 3. It's called that flat, and they're up 7% on the year. Manny, why don't you try to go to the sports where I find the futures page on this new page I've got here.
I can do that. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're nice and quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways this morning. No issues to speak of. No congestion, accidents, stalls, anything like that.
That's because everybody got shot over the weekend.
Well, not me.
No, me neither.
But everything looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be some sunshine early. Then we'll have some thunderstorms rolling in pockets throughout the area. We'll reach a high of 82. Right now it is partly cloudy and 71, going up to a rainy 82 today. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 109. Right now it's clear and 82. Chief.
On the energy front, we've got West Texas is down 25 cents, 39.50, so it's hanging in there near 40. The Brent is $41, that's minus 21 cents. RBOB down a penny at 125.61. Natural gas, $1.70. So not much changing in there. Gold hover's up 560, 1758. Just can't, it made it up to 1800 a couple times, just can't seem to break through there. I think there must be a liquidator someplace, but I can't pin him down. Now silver, however, 1817 up 15 cents. It's trying to, maybe this time it'll stay over 18, who knows. So, there you go, man. That's what we got. So, Jan, how are you? I haven't seen you in ages.
Tom, it just seems like yesterday we talked.
Yes, it was, We solved most of the problems of the world last night, Manny. We had no stenographer, however, so there was nobody to nobody to take note. We're just the main thrust of the conversation, I think, is more of it's what people are seeing today is really been a, I think it's been a progression of stuff, Jan. It's one of the things we talked about, Manny, and you and I are on the way in this morning a little bit. When you can't believe your leaders really at any level, and your news media becomes not really news media, it's almost like it's every man for himself and their beliefs and everybody tries to find the facts they care about and does it themselves. I mean, it's I was mentioning to John and to you I'm digging through the research on masks because you can't turn on the TV without. Where did the one place where they had the big rally where on one side of the street people were yelling for masks, the other side was no mask. Where the hell was that, man? Why people would come out of the house to do that, I have no idea. But it has a how has this become a political debate? And I dig in this article and see these guys. Because like everything like this, between John and Matt, I think, to me, the answer is always somewhere in the middle, right? So it seems from this article, and I could tweet it out, or we probably will, that if everybody's going to wear one of the M95 masks, like a surgeon would wear, and you make absolutely sure it's fitted around your face so nothing can get out the sides, even if you sneezed. I don't know what happens if it goes back up your nose or whatever during one of those things. It would help a lot, transmission of anything, any disease, be it a cold, be it, you know, whatever happens, anybody happens to have. The next one down, the one like I have, is that one that loops over your ears and so forth, maybe helps a little if you sneezed or coughed. You blow so much out the side, sounds horrible, that you're not doing, I mean, like 80% of whatever you sneeze still lands or goes. And then they went on to say any one of the ones that is homemade or is the kerchief like you're robbing a stagecoach are totally useless. So there we have yet another that on the one side everybody says you got to wear a mask. It's perfect for everybody, protects everybody. On the other side, people say don't worry about anything. It turns out it comes down to the mask, how it's fitted, how it's worn, like anything else. The truth is in the middle, right? And yet there's no in-the-middle truth anymore. If you're on one side or the other, you're on one side or the other. What can we possibly do to change that? I don't see it, at least not yet.
No, since the mask has sort of become a badge of either your willingness to obey the rules that have been laid down or by, not wearing one, you're flouting those rules. But the fact that the masks themselves aren't really very effective, especially when there's so many things that can pass for a mask these days. And yet they're identifiable as somebody who's either, terrified of the virus or somebody who doesn't care if they get it or give it. They become kind of like political markers that, you might as well be wearing a gigantic, campaign button of some kind.
Yeah.
For or against. And I think that that's really unfortunate, because if there is any kind of health benefit, I suppose there is some from wearing them, it shouldn't be just another way of pitting people against a group of people, and that you are sort of dissenting or agreeing with the rules that have been set down, and people make judgments about you accordingly. I hate how this has turned into a kind of us versus them, and the them is a moving target all the time, really. But it's got such strange political connotations attached to it now that I think we've just lost sight that it's supposed to be about a disease.
Well, anybody who thinks that you knit something in your house and somehow it's the same as a produced medical mask that somebody inspects, what manner of moron are you to think that there's any connection between those two things? Who is the very attractive, I won't say anything bad about her, movie starlet who was on the thing, and she's wearing one saying you should wear a mask, do something for your fellow man, and the thing, what did she knit it, and the gaps in it were like, what'd she use, knitting needles that were the size of a railroad spike or what? I mean, there was like half inch gaps in the damn thing. Anybody think that's helping anybody? I mean, and yet we're going to fight about it? I mean, just whatever.
I'm surprised we haven't had mask inspectors at the doors of grocery stores. They got to meet you outside, take that mask off, let's look at it. They got gloves on. They're going to check to see if it really meets their standards. And every store could have its own standards if it felt like it. But unless you have something like that, what they've asked people to do is just so loosey-goosey that I don't think you can really expect as a policy it's had much effect at all, other than sort of making people feel like they're doing something positive here, but it can't have a very significant impact, I don't think, overall on public
health. I think
health.
It comes down to, and how we back off from this, is whether or not you acquiesce that you are responsible for somebody else. We could have done this with colds 400 years ago. If you have a cold, it's up to you to not infect somebody else and stay home. But it's a different way of looking at it. We, of course, there are people who, if you're going to be around people closely and you have some horrible flu, but fortunately, with some horrible flu, you're sick enough where you stay home anyway, right?
Right.
But the whole idea that this thing is kind of a moving target, I really don't see people, kind of just going back to work. And these buildings, I don't see baseball coming back. I don't see football coming back, Janet. I don't see how the college. I mean, we're in this mindset now that if one player tests positive, we're calling the game off or something. I mean, what are we going to do?
Right. The thing I worried about most when they started locking things down was that there would be very little assurance that we would ever feel comfortable getting out of this, and that whether we got out of it in a year or two was pretty unclear, and it doesn't seem any clearer now. I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be Major League Baseball. I mean, not as it's been discussed, it seems, and for a variety of issues, too. But I just don't think you're going to get people to show up for games. I don't think, it's certainly going to happen with theater and, museums and everything else. I just don't see people being comfortable enough to go back and resume their former lives. The people I talk to in my age group aren't, wild about doing this.
No.
I seem to be more wild than a lot of them. But I just don't see any kind of groundswell where people are waiting to go out and start sitting next to somebody in the theater or, watch a movie or at a ball game or something else. I don't think people are ready for it. I don't think they're going to be ready for it for a while. People have been so spooked by this. That's unfortunate. I think the fear has kind of taken over the epidemiology here. And it's going to be very hard now to convince people that all of these precautions that we ask you to take are no longer necessary. Are going to be highly...
Well, they hype the hell out of people, and now they're trying to back up on it, and it's hard to back up. Once you get people afraid, they're afraid.
Right.
And I mean, when you look at the inconsistency of it, I don't think, like I said, the Cubs are not going to play in Wrigley with fans this year. Yet the idea that you and I can go to Tripoli last night, or we can go to a liquor store, or we can go buy a load of hooch at the recreational marijuana place and have 10 people in the store, and we can't put 30 people in Wrigley Field, it's so inconsistent, I can't even, I mean, it's unconscionable, it's how inconsistent it is. I mean, you would think that they really feel the intelligent thing to do would be the first week to say we're gonna take 2,000 people, general admission, sit where you want. If you want
right.
to sit 40 yards from somebody, go somewhere and sit 40 yards. You want to sit next to the four people you came with, sit next to them. And then a week later, all right, it's gonna be 2,500 people. Or something. I mean, that would make sense to me. Not having an empty place that holds 40,000 people. I mean, meanwhile, down the block, everybody's jammed in a bar. I mean, the inconsistency.
That's something that's just changed for the bad, I think, in the way tickets are priced and, the way they're scaled, for sporting events. I never went to a ball game at the old Comiskey Park with a reserved seat. I don't think ever. For $2 or whatever, you could sit pretty much any place at the park, and you could see people who like to just be by themselves. They'd be way off, upper deck somewhere near nobody, for a game that was lightly attended. But it was just like they were in their moment, and they didn't need a lot of people around them, and they were paying the same ticket price as the person who was, sitting right along first base. So that was the way it used to be, and everything was cheaper and more accessible. And
Thursday was Ladies' Day.
They really could do that now, I think, but they've kind of backed themselves into a corner, for the way they behaved in the past.
These corporations pay so much dough. I don't know about the Sox, but I don't know the details of it necessarily, but there's a group of, how many seats, Matt, you know this story better than me, but there's, how many of the best seats are not, nobody's got them? Would you say 400 or 500 of them? And every morning, those things, if you're the chairman of AT&T or Boeing, you call the Cubs and they got them for you. And they're how much money, Matty? It's like some huge percentage of the gate. I want, I've got four people coming in that are selling me, wings or someplace. Not chicken wings for the plane. And what do those guys pay for those high-end seats, Matty? It's huge. It's $1,000 a seat or so?
It's big, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, we've heard rumors to the effect, but there's seats that were... I used to be able to get Frank Maloney just passed recently, right, Manny? The guy was a ticket agent forever for the Cubs. He was a coach of... he was a head football coach at Mount Carmel for a long time.
He was, when I was there. Then he went to...
Michigan.
Michigan, right.
Because he took guys I knew, Jack McBride and Schumacher and Mark Duffy, all those guys from Carmel all went to Michigan.
Probably the best public speaker I ever saw.
Really?
When I remember some of his pep rallies. They were electrifying. I mean, I've never really seen anybody do it as well as he did, ever, in a political arena or anything else. The guy was so charismatic.
Well, there was a time when the Cubs had all these seats that they kept, they call them house seats. Well, one of the guys that went to Michigan with him, we'll go nameless, no matter what the game was, if I wanted to go, this guy was on the board with me at the SIBO, I'd call him up and say, hey, call your buddy Frank, I need four. And I'd go to Will Call, and I'd pick him up, and I'd pay for him, like, face value. And they were always, you know, 7th row, 8th row, 10th row, something like that, really nice seats. But the stipulation was, you know, don't ever scalp them, because if you did, it would get back to... So, I mean, I wasn't about to... So, get a load of this. I'm talking about a weird story. Our listeners, I think, like some weird stuff like this. It was the playoff game in 98, where they had to play San Francisco. Well, so the SIBO, and I was on the double secret committee, were negotiating trying to buy the Peacoast, right? So the people of the Peacoast are in Chicago for these double secret meetings over at the Standard Club, of all places. And, you know, where the air has been breathed before, those old clubs. I like it when, you know, the windows have never opened in 100 years. So we're in the place. And I said to, you know, Bill Bratsky, who was the chairman, I said, you know, I can get some tickets for tonight's game. Should we invite these guys if I can get them? Oh, yeah, go ahead, go get them. So I call my buddy up, and we get 9 tickets. And I said, do you guys want to go? Because the Cubs were playing San Francisco, right? And Peacoast is in San Francisco. These guys are, oh, yeah, we'd love to go. Well, it turns out their law firm immediately calls somebody and gets tickets. Says, we don't want your tickets. They're going with us. Right, typical BS. So now I've got 9 tickets without anything to do with them. So I call Audrey. She goes, oh, yeah, she'll make it in from Orland and a couple other people. So now I'm down to, like, 6. So I go to the bar, the Excelsior, and there's these 4 guys that sat there every night and complained. A couple guys from the Fed and a couple guys from the SIBO floor. It literally was like Cheers. They all had their stools. They never left. They're all in the same spot. And I go, hey, do you guys want to go to the game? Man, he was the funniest thing ever. They all sit there and they talk about, hey, we should, it was just like Norm and Cliffy, like leaving Cheers bar to go somewhere. So, of course, they get big to-go drinks that are 90% booze, right? And they all pile up and we all get in these 2 cabs. These guys hadn't seen the light of day and whatever. So we get up there. Now I'm still short 3 people. I got 3 extra tickets. I go to Will Call and now I got 9 tickets. And there's this couple in front of Will Call and they're looking for tickets and I go, you guys need tickets? You go, yeah, I really want to, you know, my wife's never seen a Cub game, blah, blah, blah. They're in her early 30s. And I said, here's the deal. I'll give you 2 tickets. He goes, what do you mean you'll give me 2 tickets? I said, I'm going to give you 2 tickets, but you're walking in the turnstile right ahead of me. There's no way you're scalping these things. And the guy says, what do I got to do? I said, all you got to do is buy a round of beer. And the guy's like, really? So he's happy. Then I see my nephew walking by. Out of the blue, out of all those people, I see my nephew walking by. You know, hey, Timbo, what are you doing? So then we had our 9. We went and we had a great time. These guys bought a couple rounds of beers. The guys in the Board of Trade, they were like, we should do this like more often. I'm going, it's the first playoff game in 20, you idiots. But they were hilarious. They literally had not gotten out of their cave in their little spot at the bar in 20 years. And all of a sudden, there they are pounding the cabs with their to-go cups. It was absolutely hilarious. I just wish we'd taken, you know, everybody had a camera like they do now. We'd have taken a couple of pictures, but it was a great game. Mark Grace made the last play, and they went on to play. Lost to whoever they were. They going to play, man.
They played the Braves and got swept.
Yeah, they played the Braves, and got swept. But still, that was a good team. It was a lot of fun. But but that's how, you know. But it's unconscionable that you're going to have. Well, let me ask you this: right now, we have a disease, and the two as these guys keep, you know, every day you start hearing the hype about the tests. The 2 random samples that I went through in detail, the one in Spain and the one in Indiana, every one of them says, the both of them say, that it's affected 10 times more people than the numbers show. So if they say there's 100,000 people that have it, it's really 1 million. Indiana was 11 times. But even at 11 times, it's still less than 5% of the total population. So why does anybody think we're, quote, over it? I mean, and if you were to ask Fauci or Trump or Jay or Lori, they can't even ask after 6 months, after maybe 8 months, depending on who you believe, we can't even answer the question, are we better off if we hunker down and we spread this out for like 5 years or are we better off 50,000 people went to the Cub game tomorrow and all 50,000 people are under the age of 40 and they all get it in 2 weeks from now to get antibodies and they can't hurt anybody else? Can anybody even answer that question?
No, and I don't think they want you to ask the question because it will put to a lie everything they've been telling us.
But I don't know.
Think about that possibility.
I mean, I don't know.
Clearly, that really is, you know, what you should be able to find out pretty easily, I would think, by now. And the fact that they don't tell you means they don't know or they don't want you to know. So,
well, I mean, it seems since we've been doing the show, since this has happened, and we've got contributors that obviously are from every walk of life, every single person on this show agrees with one thing. This is, you cannot contain this. You blew the chance early on, and now it's uncontainable. It's just out there. It's like the cold, unfortunately. And I agree with the part we had to slow it down, the hospitals are filling up, but I don't, if everybody's just afraid, I mean, can you imagine the first building downtown that says, hey, everybody come on back?
I can't imagine any, you know, building owner or leasing agent or insurance company that's going to encourage that. It's just that everybody's going to be waiting for somebody else to do it first before they don't want to be the point person for having made a bad decision. So everybody is waiting around for there to be some kind of groundswell that they can join and nobody will even notice it. But until then, I don't see any of these buildings reopening as I would use the term at all.
Well, Jan, as an attorney, and I know this isn't your field, if you make everybody sign, or anybody wants to come back to work or into the building, essentially if I get it, I'm not going to try and sue you saying I got it here. Or if the state says CTA and Metra are not liable for anybody who thinks they caught it on a car, is that enforceable?
I don't think so. I mean, it will certainly be tested legally, and I think, wasn't it, I think at Trump's rally in Tulsa, they made people sign waivers before they were admitted that they would hold, ones hosting the rally harmless in the event of any illness traceable to their attendance, which, how do you know where you got it? And, you're going to have to prove that before you can recover against, the person whose venue you visited. But I see this being a legal wrangle forever. Once if you can establish that it's possible to get it this way, and here's something we want you to sign saying you won't sue us because of it, you'll have everybody in creation, the Aldi will be making you sign that before you go in to buy your dinner. So I just don't see this as a realistic way of encouraging, a return to normal behavior. It's going to make people, legally now, responsible. So I find that a horrendous option. So,
but Jan, I'm asking because I don't know, and I didn't spend however long you guys go to law school, 2 or 3 years. Where does the precedent come from? I mean, I don't believe that there's a precedent saying, I was going on a trip to Europe and I spent $30,000 in advance, and Maddie Weber invited me to dinner, and Jill had the flu, so I had the flu and had to cancel my trip. I want the $30,000 from Jill. I mean, I can't imagine that there's any precedent like that out there. I mean, but which doesn't mean there isn't. Does somebody have to win a case like that, as stupid as it may seem? Then that becomes the precedent. Or right now, is the precedent all precedent, not president? The precedent is that. That's crazy. I mean, does somebody have to win, or a few people have to win?
Yeah, to be some court willing to, or a jury that's willing to find this behavior constitutes negligence or, tortious behavior, because you can't find a list of definitions for that in any law book or any statute book. So it's defined, does this rise to the level of, gross negligence? Well, let's think about what negligence is. How do we spin this to make it look like this is, falls under this category? And then you get a jury with, stars in their eyes that starts throwing money at some plaintiff because they think this is egregious behavior. And then, there's a precedent established, and sometimes it's codified, sometimes there's caps on recovery, but by and large, it's whatever you can make fit the definitions as they exist in whatever, you know, statutes or codes you have, and that's pretty open-ended, you know, and subject to reinterpretation. It's evolving all the time. It's kind of always been that way, but once you establish a precedent that you are, you know, legally responsible as the owner of a, you know, a ball field or a theater or an office building or something else, for the health of everybody who comes in, on whatever basis, you work there, you visit there, you live there, I just don't see any kind of economy that can thrive with that sort of sensitivity. It's just,
clearly, in the trading pits, I mean, there were all kinds of times where flus came through and colds where people are coughing and hacking like you wouldn't believe it. They'd cough in your face if they're yelling. And I can't imagine the mindset of somebody walking out of there and saying, oh, I got the flu, I'm still in the CBOE. I mean, now the mindset, I think, it clearly has changed. I mean, right? I mean,
right.
But
right.
So anyway, S&P futures, we're up 24 now. NASDAQ futures up 94, so we're moving on up here. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Weber. We have Mr. Chan Flanagan as well. SP Futures now up 24. as if you're just down 92. Again, we're making back just about everything we lost in the last 20 minutes on Friday. And Apple's the stock that's up the most, up 243. And again, this was the stock that cratered Friday afternoon as they, I don't know, did you catch that? Because of the spikes in virus, they were going to close 11 stores or something. Was it in Asia or here? It was in Japan, wasn't it? But they were.
I don't think it was here.
But they dropped about $6 because they were up on the day and they finished down, you know, not appreciably because the thing's 352, but they finished down 1% or whatever on Friday or more than that because of the, they were going to close some stores. John, I have, as you know, and Maddie obviously knows, he listens to me every day. I'm just really, really nervous that if we don't get some leadership someplace and we're going to explain to people how we're going to work our way out of this. And people are, even everybody bitches about young people no matter what. Was it Socrates that said, what are we going to do with this new generation? How many generations was that ago? I think we are, you know, somewhat resilient in a lot of ways, but this whole idea of when we can't find the truth from the guys we elect, if they don't come out with the truth, then you have a whole business, and they call themselves news, and I don't want to get in a fight about one side or the other, but all they really want to do is keep stoking the fire, because that's where the money is. They're not news. I mean, I'm going to submit to Fox and CNBC, the right and the left stuff that I get. I mean, sometimes the things I get from people, I have to dig to about the 15th paragraph to find a fact. I mean, the first part is all just somebody's opinion. And oh, by the way, here's a fact, and maybe the fact is right or wrong or not. But
and it often contradicts what was in the headline.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In that story too.
Yeah, so. Which is even more bizarre. So I mean, if you don't, it's almost like, you know, what they used to say in college: nature abhors a vacuum. Remember that quote from physics. You know, nature abhors a vacuum. When there's a vacuum, stuff enters the void. And if you're not going to get your president, your governor, your mayor, whoever the hell it may be, to say, look, these are the facts. This is the way we see this heading. These are the real numbers. I mean, I don't see how any of these numbers are any good when anybody I know that either has wanted a test, has been sick, had the disease, couldn't get the test. The two people I know that have had it, the lady was in our office and Kenny Polcari, neither one of them could get a test. Now, Kenny's since has been able to get the antibody test, and they proved that he has it. But nobody wants his antibodies, which you should be given to three or four other people. I think that's how many, if you give a pint of blood, that's how many people can get the antibodies. Which are, the one thing we know is a proven way of somebody else. I mean, there should be three or four, you know, over 65-year-old people. I'll volunteer to say, give me some of those. I'll take them tomorrow. Because, you know, I'd rather not get it. I'm sure you probably feel the same way, Jen. Or I guarantee sure. there's a couple people in nursing homes that would love to have it too. Or people who work in nursing homes. So, I mean, everything that looks like we should be doing, we're not. And I don't understand why. We're better than this. I mean, I was on Joan Esposito's show, and I didn't want to go off on it too much because I'm on somebody else's show. I can ruin my own show. I don't want to ruin somebody else's. But how is it that we are the country that figured out a way, Maddie, I don't know how much you know about building the Golden Gate, but the biggest issue was the abutment on the San Francisco side, on the southern side. The bedrock, they didn't think was strong enough to hold a bridge. The bedrock was crapple, for lack of a better term. But they ended up sinking all these holes where they put these guys in these little carts, and they sunk them down 200-300 feet in the ground to check out the bedrock. You imagine doing that? Being one of those guys with like a flashlight, 300 feet underground, going, what the? And they figured out a way in 1930 to support the bedrock, to strengthen the bedrock so it could hold the bridge. Hoover Dam, they redirected an angry river for 3 years through the mountains. They dug holes. The river flowed through the canyon walls for 3 years. This same country can't figure out a way for somebody to visit their mother in a nursing home. Are we serious? I mean, what is wrong with us?
It really is preposterous. You know, and early on, you know, you could, you know, pin this on, you know, the leaders at the top, but certainly on the governors and on the mayors. They completely lost any kind of nuancing between advisory material, you know, this is best practice or whatever, and just draconian orders or edicts that, you know, involved no discussion, no legislative input, no nothing, other than I'm signing this piece of paper that somebody wrote up, and here's what you shall do, and here's what you shall not do. And right away, I stopped listening to both advice and orders from the higher-ups, because I didn't think either one had really been thought through enough to warrant my following them mindlessly, and I was going to have to use my own judgment here and pay attention to my body and what was going on around me and tune out all these other clowns who clearly didn't have their act together. They weren't saying, you know, they weren't staying on their own message most of the time. They were flip-flopping constantly, and you could go from one state to another or one city to another and find a whole different set of rules in place. And I thought, this is, you know, democracy gone haywire. This is not how a system can really function, you know, economically, you know, intelligently or anything else. So I got rid of all of that stuff, and I have tried to filter all of it, whether it's just advice or edicts. And once you have a lot of people doing that, that's not good either, because
no.
you now have a total distrust of the systems that are supposed to be there to give you information and advice that you should follow. But you have to trust those people first, and I frankly have lost all my trust.
Well, when you look at some of the, I get a couple of my, one of my, I mentioned this, one of my buddies at Pullman, he's a riot. I mean, he's a, get a load of this, John and Mitty. He was a guy, and I don't want to accuse him of being able to do it now because he's not a kid anymore. If you rattled off numbers, you know, say three-digit numbers, as fast as you could rattle them off, this guy could add them. I'm not kidding. And he would, because he used to piss off the controller, the guy would be pounding stuff into his adding machine, and he was really fast with it. Before he hit the plus number, this guy always had the answer and pissed him off. He's kind of a wordsmith sort of guy too, and he sends all this stuff out. Like, I never knew I could go buy marijuana, but I can't go to church. I mean, just some of the stuff that you see happening. I can't go to a funeral, but I can, you know, I can go to Walmart. I mean, it's when you see. I don't know. I have no problem. I mean, my brother always says that the interesting thing about, you know, people that are traders. I mean, Dan's really good at what he does, but he's not. He never really loved it like me in terms of trading. I mean, me, I don't really have a problem making a trade. I figure if it's right, once in a while you can't lose. You buy Northern Tissue, and the next day, you know, there's a crisis of toilet paper, and the thing doubles in price, and you you couldn't screw it up if you wanted to, right? And then, but there's other days where you buy it, and maybe you're dead wrong, and you can't. But most of the time, the position you have, especially if you do options or futures or something, are more complex. As time goes by, it's never going to be the absolute right thing. After a week or two, you're going to want to start tweaking it. You know, I don't have a problem with, you know, Jay Pritzker when he saw the hospitals on St. Patrick's Day. Well, he could have waited, but we could have had a beer at a bar on St. Patrick's Day. I won't forgive him. I'll never forgive him for that. But that was talk about un-American, not being able to get a beer on St. Patrick's Day. But I don't have any problem with him shutting things down, saying, "Hey, look, the ambulances are piling up. We got to do something. Let's see where we are in 15 days." I think that was the absolute proper call. But now all of a sudden you're driving around going, "Wait a minute, the mattress store is closed. The guy's gagging." But look down the street, Menards is selling mattresses. Well, that's not right. You know, come on, we can't put one guy out of business. While we let the other guy, you know, why is, you know, Target selling blue jeans, but the blue jeans store can't open? I mean, that's nuts. I mean, the lack of ability to move on their feet once they got moving, to me, is a mark of people that are not, they're not qualified for the job. They don't have their eyes open. They're listening to the wrong people, or they're not listening at all. Somehow or another, you gotta get in the car and drive around. And every one of these guys, from the president to Lori, all they do is hang with their own people. And they get the advice from the people who tell them that they're right all the time. Well, you don't need that. What do I need on this show if I could even find 10 people who agreed with me and everything? What do I need them here for? right?
That's exactly right. Tom, I had a lesson in this yesterday, just going down to share an adult beverage with you, and yesterday was the first day since the lockdown started that the CTA is collecting bus fares again, so that you enter the bus at the front of the bus where the fare collection reader, you know, the card reader is, instead of at the back where there's no card reader. I mean, every stop when I was riding the bus both directions, people were still, you know, gathering at the back of the bus, and the driver was honking the horn, no, you got to come back to the front of the bus like he always did forever. The thing that struck me most about it was not that there wasn't the need for a lockdown of some kind early on to just, you know, put everything, you know, tamp it down a little bit so that people didn't, you know, expose themselves recklessly. But I thought, what has changed over, you know, the past week or two that all of a sudden now it's totally back to normal, except people are wearing masks? And it leads me to believe we never should have done what we did, that there was no justification from a health standpoint or anything else to do it. And we let it go way too long, probably, you know, 3 months too long. And now the fact that it's just, you know, okay, now it's back to normal, you know, experiment over. That was a hell of an experiment. What do we do that for other than to possibly bankrupt the transit system? This makes no sense.
People were getting used to telling people what to do. I drove my, well, talk about a fiasco, but anyway, I brought my car to this place on my truck on the south side that supposedly was really good. Long story, which I will not tell. But I'm parked behind this bus, you know, red light changes. There's this poor black guy. He's out there, and he can't get the back door open. And every time he'd walk to the front to try and get in the front door, thinking the guy would, all right, come on the front, what's the difference? I mean, you know, one guy, he must have tried the back four times before somebody on the inside got out and opened the door for him from the inside. The idiot was not going to let him on the front. And the back one wouldn't open. The poor guy had to go back and forth four times before finally somebody inside said, I'll see if I can open it from the inside, and he did. I mean, the guy couldn't have opened the front door, let the poor dude out, for God's sake. I shudder that somehow or another this guy's going to lob the germ and all the other people. Plus, what about the people who are sitting by the back door? We don't care about them.
Oh, right. Well, plus, I'd like to know how much the CTA spent on, you know, like yellow crime scene tape, because that's now, you know, they have to remove all that, but they put it on every bus so that even if you got on at the front of the bus like the guy you saw trying to do, he couldn't have proceeded to the seating area because it was all crime taped off, so that people who had gotten on the back of the bus couldn't approach the driver or the fare card reader. So now they have to rip all that stuff down too. I just was kind of laughing to myself, thinking what a preposterous time this has been. It went on, you know, and on and on and on, and now we have absolutely no reason to continue it, apparently, but I don't think we ever had a reason to
institute. Well, but as near as I can tell, all the modern buses, talk about not, the old ones, not exactly, all the modern buses have some ability in the front, either to kneel or to drop that platform. You can get on with a wheelchair, or if you're handicapped, and you can do that stuff. And once in a while, I used to drop my truck down south. People get this, you know, we get so hung up on the, you know, the racism and this and that, and everybody hates everybody. Simple fact is, just about most people don't hate anybody. You get on the Kedzie bus, I used to get on 91st Street, that's where my mechanic was, so they retired. And I take it down to the Orange Line in the morning, all kinds of people. You name the color, there's Hispanic, there's black, there's white. Everybody's on the bus, you know, in an area where the handicap is. The minute somebody got on with the wheelchair, it didn't matter whether, really,
people
didn't matter
up,
if they're black.
They
people get up, they help them on.
They help make sure the person's secure.
Yeah,
the
make sure they pick up their, you know, they pick up, maybe I've never seen that, but you can pick up those seats to make room for them, and then those people would walk to the back. I didn't hear anything like, he's black or he's white, we're not going to help him or her out. Which isn't to say that there isn't racism in this world in a lot of people. There's white people don't like black people. There's black people don't like white people. I mean, and some of the stuff economically has become ingrained in a lot of ways. There's people from, you know, it's unfortunately it's kind of the way people are. You could be a genius from John Marshall Law School, you're not getting a job with a big firm. They don't want you. You could be Solomon. They don't care. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, or blue, right? You got to come from a big firm.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, there's discrimination everywhere, and it's not right at any level, at any point or any place. It never has been, and yet it's there. And every day, everybody has to find a way. And whenever they see it, they find a way to either stop it or fight against it or do something. And it's been like that my whole life, and it hasn't changed. It's always been like that. I mean, so we have to make sure when it comes to police, when it comes to everything, are these people doing the best they can? Doesn't mean people don't ever make a mistake. And by the way, killing somebody isn't exactly an easy mistake. So it's not like I'm making a light of any of this stuff. I'm not. But I also know that there's branding everybody a racist. That doesn't help your cause. I mean, calling me a racist, I'm not. I never was. So what is the point of that? I don't generalize anybody. Never have, and I don't. But I don't want to be generalized either. So I mean, if we're going to sit down and talk, which we should never stop talking. What can we do to help these communities that have trouble? And it's not just. I mean, right now we know 40% of the people out of work. I got news for you. The hardships are multicolor at this point. Although the areas that are the hardest hit before are going to be the hardest hit now. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, and that's why you need to start there. And I would love to see some. I mean, how many times on the show, Manny, do we lob out programs that we'd like to see start? I mean, why aren't the schools open at night? What good does it do to send, you know, some kid home hoping he's going to get homework from the parents when the parents don't know geometry either? I mean, who says that education stops when you're 16? I mean, why shouldn't the parents be able to go to high school equivalency? Why shouldn't this is something that has to be in everybody's mind? How are we going to make the next 10 or 20 years? How are we going to fix this? And calling people names for the next 2 weeks is not part of the solution, I don't think. I mean,
nor is toppling statues
no.
of people who have been dead for 150 years or digging up grudges from generations ago as reasons to, you know, push the spotlight somewhere else today. I think that really shows just how desperate some activists have become to find hatred and racism when it isn't apparent enough in day-to-day life. And like you, I mean, I'm lived all over the city of Chicago in my life, and I think I know most of the city pretty well, and I kind of keep track of what's going on neighborhood to neighborhood. And I'm always really impressed at how well everybody gets along in this town, given how, you know, complex everything has become. And, you know, the racial tensions, ethnic tensions, economic tensions are much, you know, more acute, I think, than they ever were before. And it should be a lot angrier, more horrible place than it is. And it's not a horrible place. If people generally respect each other and understand each other, you know, enough to get by in their day-to-day lives. And it rankles me, and I think other people, too, that we're being now lectured to and taken to task for not having achieved some kind of utopian society here, which nobody really thinks is possible anyway. And why would you shame people or insult people because we haven't gotten there fast enough? I don't think we'll ever get to a perfect society. I hope not, because I don't think there'll be any place for a lot of people in it.
That's for sure I'd fit in.
But you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And Chicago, of all big cities that I know, I think that people have kind of figured it out. They know this isn't worth fighting.
Well, it's
about.
Way, way better than it was 40 years ago. It was horrible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Which doesn't make it... But
and you can't say that, though, without looking like a counter-revolutionary or, you know, retrograde thinker, that, you know, you've kind of... You must be blind to what's going on around you. And I'm sorry, I don't see it that way. And I know a lot of people who don't see it that way either. But that's all you're being told endlessly. I'm just sick of it. I'm really sick of it.
Well, I don't get the, Maddie, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but yeah, I will. What is it about a lot of the young people, and it's not up to you to defend young people in general. First of all, you're not that young anymore, but sorry about that.
That's a good point.
What is it about a group of people, you know, be it black, white, blue, green, I don't care, that have, if I were to quiz them on any kind of civics, any kind of history, black or white, there any kind of development about how this, how race relations have improved or not over time, and what, how is it that these same people somehow find out that Francis Scott Key owned slaves and we better take his statue down from 100 years ago? Who gives a crap? I mean, all we know is the guy wrote a good song. We didn't say he was a perfect person.
I agree with your initial sentiment. Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
About taking it down or leaving it up. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, what makes people think that, first of all, they're perfect?
No one's perfect, but my point is that the statue doesn't matter. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, but I'm not a black person. So if it matters to them, take it down. I don't care.
But I'm saying, name me a leader anywhere, that or any scientist or whatever, or artist
that didn't own slaves. I can name
no,
a lot.
But I mean, they weren't. They didn't have, you know, wasn't a wife beater. Didn't you know, beat up their kids. Or there's somebody somewhere has. I mean, a general. I mean, tomorrow, I honestly don't care if I have kids going to war. I don't care if the general is essentially, you know, doing his secretary, if he's going to get more kids back than some other guy. I mean, after the war is over, yeah, get him the hell out of there. But, I mean, at some point, people have skill sets that society needs. I mean, that night we needed a guy to write a song, right? That's all we needed. We don't care if the guy, I mean, that's all. Other than that, I don't care if the guy lived or died. Do you? I mean, what difference does it make?
I don't, but I also am not a black person. If a guy owns slaves, it's probably going to bother me. If we're honoring him, and I gotta walk by him.
But
every
I don't
day.
Think the that's, statue was pulled down.
I'm just trying to be empathetic.
Yeah, well, so am I. But I mean, in that era, there were people that had. Well, why don't we walk through and say everybody who owned a factory that didn't pay people in money, that paid them in company script, where they couldn't go anywhere, effectively, it was indentured servitude. I won't say it was slavery, but it was pretty horrible too.
If there was millions of people banding together that wanted to take it down, I couldn't care less. Take it down.
Okay, so Carnegie,
fine.
All these guys, George Pullman.
I don't care.
Yeah. Well, but why? Out of all the things we can,
but
accomplish,
there aren't millions of people banding together to take down those examples you gave. So they're not apples to apples.
But I'm saying,
and it's a dumb argument.
They're not banding together until somebody makes it their Twitter lifeline to tell everybody about it. Because nobody. I didn't know any guy owned slaves. Why would I know?
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Well, okay.
Our whole education has been whitewashed over the last 150
years. I think that you are a very lucky man, and I'm a very lucky man that we're alive when we are. I mean, the last thing you wanted to be in the 1800s is one of the Asian people digging tunnels on the railroad where in the wintertime there was an avalanche and never even looked for you. You didn't want to be the Irish guy digging a canal with cholera and typhoid. They didn't care about you when you croaked. You didn't want to be a slave. You didn't want to be a coal miner. Name me a job that you wanted to be unless you were an executive somewhere. It was a horrible century to be alive.
Yeah.
I mean, at every level. I mean, I'm so happy. I mean, can you imagine if... Well, first of all, even you, Maddie, at age 35, I'm going to say in the 1930s, you wouldn't have had half of your teeth. Nobody did.
Right.
Don't you? I think you like your teeth.
So far.
Yeah, I mean, they work pretty well. I mean, everything. Imagine, I mean, how many people died, even like Teddy Roosevelt. How sick was he? You go back to those years, there's people in rich families that are croaking when they're 13, 14. How many people had polio? I mean, I think we have a lot of work to do worrying about ourselves and making things better for people today and their kids and their kids than worrying about whether somebody owned a slave 400 years ago. I could care less whether Christopher Columbus was a good guy. I'm sure he wasn't. But he had the stones to get on a little boat that I would get on Lake Michigan with and sail around the world in damn near. So he's an unusual human being for that. It doesn't make him good. It never did. Am I wrong or not? It just means that he had some stones.
You're right about that. But does that mean he needs a national federal holiday?
I think most people think we're pretty happy we're discovered.
I don't think the Native Americans are too happy about it.
Ask
one if you can find one.
No. Well, you know, if you're in South America, the answer is no. How many people they knock off? 20 million? That's a lot. By disease?
And yeah, disease took care of a lot more Native Americans than Columbus or his troops could. I mean, it was just... devastation.
Yeah. What was it mostly? It was smallpox. Was it measles?
Smallpox.
Too?
Yeah.
Smallpox. I mean, the only disease allegedly they gave back to Europe as some revenge was syphilis. Have you knew that or not, John?
Yeah, we were talking about that. That was, certainly changed the history of Europe.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And Asia, and the rest of the world. When that disease became widespread and was untreatable. So.
And a plague. I mean, a plague. Boy, boy, oh boy. So anyway, John, when do you think we're going to start getting some notice of the inflation we're all seeing? Do you think these guys are going to be able to lie all the way through the election? I'm not so sure they're lying for Trump, but they're on a roll. I mean, they're not letting us know. Last week, the number was minus.
Well, it's just like what Frank was saying in your first half hour today about meat prices, and I see it, in produce prices too. When I shop at the grocery store, and I think we've just begun to see what's about to happen. I think everything has been so screwed up in delivery systems and hiring and firing. We don't have a kind of economy that is ready to respond to increased demand all of a sudden without some huge disruptions and major inflation.
Well, John, thank you very much, buddy.
I'm just kind of waiting for that to play out, and I just, you got to hunker down. And I, just like the article you sent around last night, a lot of the stimulus money is going to go right into savings I think people are worried that they're not going to be able to cover their bills even if they are working.
Well, they're going to hopefully that or credit cards or whatever. I mean, we're still talking 25% on people are paying, which is unconscionable when you think about it, but it's a topic for another day. John, thank you very much.
Yep.
SP Futures now up 26, NASDAQ Futures up 89. Come back with Mr. David Andaman. We'll figure out what the spoos did overnight and all the other stuff market-wise.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom O. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. David Handelman in a second. We have S&P futures up 25.50. And we've got the NASDAQ up 88, so we're on our way north here. We were down, and we'll get the exact numbers from David here in a second, but the I'm looking to see what the futures numbers here around the rest of the world. Since my CNBC site I usually use is having issues this morning, so I'm using Bloomberg, but I'll have it here in a second. Individual stocks, the one that's up the most is Apple, which they are up because they were down Friday because they were closing some stores, but they're bouncing back this morning. Northern Europe, we've got the FTSE is down 18 points. That's 62.32 is where they're trading. We've got the DAX down 54. It's 12,266. And we've got the Kekron. Wait a minute, I think I might be Dometi. Let me get today's number here. No, that's right. Kekron is down 18. They're trading 49.23. Over in Asia, we've got the Hang Seng is down up 43, 24.499. Couldn't make it to 25,000. We've got the Nikkei is up 100, 22,420. What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports? I'll dig out the commodities when you're done.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways, Chief. In fact, absolutely no red on the map at all. Nothing to speak of. No accidents, no closures, no construction of any major causing delays or anything like that. No stalls. We're looking good. So enjoy a nice quiet commute as you're heading in this morning on a Monday. Weather today, clouds early. Could have some thunderstorms rolling in later on. We'll reach a high of 82. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 72 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot today, a high of 109. Right now it's clear and 83. Chief.
We have WTI down 39 cents, 39.36. We have Brent down 22 cents, 41.97. We've got natural gas up 3 cents at $1.69. And we've got RBOB trading at $1.26, which is actually down 7 cents. So over we got gold up $6. We've got silver, big mover up 15 cents, 18.18. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
We had a big move in the market last night. Before I went to bed, we were in the same spot we were kind of right now, and then evidently we took a dip in the wee hours, eh?
Yeah, the September S&P hit a low of 30.27.25, which was, 57 different, so it was down about 32 handles. Now, mine's about 4 or 5 minutes delayed, up 25 and a quarter, so it's bounced about 57 handles. NASDAQ was way down as low as 98.43.50, so it's bounced back like 165 handles.
What was the piece of news that hit between the time I went to bed and this morning? then all of a sudden was not news anymore?
I honestly don't know. I mean, the only thing that I really heard, you know, and that was yesterday, so it was not this morning, but yesterday the Chinese kept rates, you know, unchanged, both lending rates to corporations and mortgage rates. They kept them steady. Some folks thought that they might ease them, but they did promise, you know, additional stimulus. The only other thing that I saw was in Japan, which we know that they buy individual stocks, but mostly their own, you know, top 25 stocks on the Nikkei, the ETF. Supposedly they had a quote-unquote, I hate to call it a rule, but kind of what they did was, whenever in the morning session, when the Nikkei is down 0.5% or more, they come in and buy that ETF. This time they came in when it was down 0.34%. So analysts were questioning whether, you know, this is a change in policy and the Japanese government is just going to come in whenever they want. You know, anything lower in the morning session, they're going to come in and buy to support it.
So whenever one of the guys in charge... Remember, one of the guys in charge gets long, the government's going to come in and buy it after him so he makes money.
Now, come on, Chief. No, as I said, over the years, I've come to agree with you in those kind of situations.
You know, I get this. I just once, I would hope that the human nature would surprise me to the good side. Whenever people have some nefarious way where they can cheat, even if they don't do it, somebody along the line finds a way to use that hole. That's why I really loved the open outcry system, because it was geniusly self-policing. And whenever you get things that are self-policed, you don't have to watch it. It's like the commodity markets. You don't have to police farmers. There's 90 bazillion of them, right? Not one of them can affect the price of... You don't have to worry about the price of corn, unless, you know, some crazy things happen at the end with, you know, deliveries or something. But by and large, you don't have to worry about it, right? It polices itself.
Well, it was more in the old days than when the corporate farmers, when the, you know, Continental Grain and the Bungie and, you know, whatever, you know, came in and bought up the small ones, and, you know, they... I don't want to say they could control, but they knew where and when, you know, the delivery stocks were, and
right,
they even had the scale to move the stuff around to where, you know, could they move corn up 30 cents a bushel, you know, only if they had the right weather, you know, routine or knew when the next, you know, China order or Egyptian order for wheat, you know, was coming. But could they move it, you know, 3-4 cents? Pretty much it will. They could. Cargill and the like.
Well, yeah. This is interesting, Matty. You always hear me to the point where Matty accuses me of flip-flopping, which it may sound to him like I am, but the way the definitions... Figure this one out, Matty. In the business, in the securities business, oh, allegedly, I mean, if I was aware, or PTI was aware... That you were a huge buyer of IBM, right? And you were going to pay up, you know, or certainly if you were going to take the thing over, and you take over IBM, but who knows? Maybe somebody will someday. If I know that, and I'm going to, I can't possibly trade on that. First of all, I wouldn't anyway because I'm too honest. But even if I wasn't, you can't do that. But on the futures side, it's a totally different definition. If you're the head of you know, XYZ grain. And the agricultural minister of China calls you up and says, I'm going to buy 3 million bushels of soybeans. You are well within your rights to put down that phone and pick it up and start buying futures on the floor. By definition, that's not front running. Yet, on the security side, it sure as hell is. So, I could never get how those two somehow equated out, David, but they did, right? I mean, you have no problem with that.
I had customers who ran, you know, cash desks at the CBD just for stuff like, you know, soybean meal and soybean oil. And they would, you know, it'd get to January where it was the crush season, and they knew whether, you know, Continental, Cargill, Bungie, whatever, were coming in to do their daily crushes or whatever, or for whatever reason there wasn't demand and they were standing aside. And they got phone calls, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a day. And, you know, just it was a father and two sons, and they would, you know, you'd get something like soybean meal, soybean oil, which, you know, weren't, you know, that heavily traded or whatever. They'd come in, you know, with 100 contracts, 150 contracts, and they could move, you know, soybean meal, $3, $4. They could move up or down, you know, based on the phone calls, or soybean oil, you know, 40, 50, 60 points, which were heavy. I'm not saying every day. I'm not saying all the time. If it was once a week, once every 2 weeks, it was a big play.
Well, for those that have no idea what the hell we're talking about, Matty, gauge me on this. When you buy a bushel of soybeans, there's called the crush. When you have soybeans, what do you do with it? You crush it and you get soybean oil, which you use in your salad, and you get soybean meal, which you can use to feed livestock and do whatever you want. So there's a ratio there, and I don't know how. I'm sure that, David, if you don't know, or a million guys over there know that trade soybeans, for every bushel you're going to get how many ounces of oil and how many whatever of meal, right? And
right.
So my question to you is, if somebody runs the price of the oil up, how at some point, when is it okay for me to go out and buy the soybeans themselves and short the futures in the oil and just do the crush? It has to be a sloppy hedge, I would think, because how the hell am I going to crush the soybeans? But I mean, obviously,
I can't answer that, but it was done. And I want to use the term all the time, which is not correct. It wasn't done all the time. But they had the calculation exactly the way you talked about it, that, you know, you'd get so many pounds, ounces, whatever, of soybean meal and soybean oil from the crush. And this is what this was their break even. And if the products, you know, were profitable to the soybeans, you know, they'd buy the products and sell the beans, or if it wasn't, they'd go the other way around. Or, you know, if they just didn't have it, you know, they could buy the beans, and if there was enough premium for carry, you know, and cover insurance and everything else, you know, they'd buy the beans and sell the futures or whatever. They, you know, and again, it wasn't all the time. It was, but I would say it was consistently. And it also depended on the season. They knew that. I can't give you the exact dates, and it may be different now, but in those days, between whatever, the end of December and February 15th, about, you know, 40% of the entire, you know, soybean crush was done. That's when they wanted it. And then, you know, you'd get to the end of the crop year, July, August, when, you know, now you were facing new crop, and typically the demand, I don't want to say it was over, but they had what they needed. So then typically, depending on weather and if there was some kind of dislocation in supply, you know, then they'd want the soybeans, you know, because there wasn't much left for the old crop year coming into new crop, and they wouldn't want the products at all. The crush was over.
Interesting. Hey, all right, so what about our market? What about gold? I had a couple questions. I was on another show on Thursday, and everybody was asking about gold. I said, you're asking the wrong person, because I've been very bullish on gold for 3 years now. And it's ended a point where we, you know, end up making money for people. But it clearly has not run like a scalded cat like I thought it should with the dollars coming out. That I really think that there's a, you know, I think there's a liquidator someplace. But what do you think on the gold part? I mean,
again, well, you had definitely a head start, because I've only been, you know, quote unquote bullish, or certainly friendly, for the last year and a half, not 3 years. But, you know, I said anything under 1700 you should buy. You know, we got that chance, you know, to about 1685 basis the August front month contract like 2 weeks ago. There's a little bit, I wouldn't call it, you know, a beautiful formation. I would say it's decent, you know, 60-40, it'll work. Little head and shoulders continuation, not a reversal formation, a little head upside down head and shoulders continuation formation, right at roughly 1748 to 1755, basically 1750 basis the August future. And if it holds there, you got probably about $65 to the upside. So as long as it holds 1750, looks like about 1815. And you know why it hasn't rocketed, being honest, with what you've talked about with M2 money supply and, you know, just that balance sheet. And again, I just anecdotally, I mean, I, you know, we occasionally shop at Jewel. You know, supposedly you get decent meat at, you know, a discount. I mean, $22 a pound for New York Strip, you know, and I look up on the board and live cattle, which, you know, is not the same as New York sirloin, but nevertheless, down from 160 to 96.
Yeah.
And Jewel has, you know, prime steak or even choice steak for $18 to $22 a pound. Are you kidding me? So there, I don't know about the rest. You know, gas at the pump seems, you know, pretty stable. But at least in the grocery store, there is huge, huge. And I know it's partially due to the restaurants and hotels and the supply chain interruptions. I told you we went out for the first time to an outdoor restaurant, first time in like 4 months. And, you know, I was talking to the owner, and he said, you know, I can't even get the meat that I want. And I know that wholesale prices have gone down, 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 down. And he says, I'm paying, hand to God, almost double.
I know they all can't do this, but, I mean, there's butcher places all over Iowa and Wisconsin. Those guys got to, I know if Gibson's, you're not going to drive out to the butcher store and, you know, whatever, out in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, and buy steaks, but you wonder why the supply chain is broken down to this extent.
Yeah, and I told you that story last week of that anecdotal where we were going to just walk at Lake Geneva, and when we saw the crowds and no masks, no protection, no anything, we wouldn't get out of the car, and we drove, you know, back east 10 miles, and on the south side, you know, south side, same county, here was a butcher shop, and we said, you know, hey, Wisconsin, they got, you know, meat, they got cheese. And I mean, it was $18, $19 a pound out in the middle of nowhere in Walworth County, you know, and I'm like, are you kidding me? We went in and walked out. At least they were covered and protected.
Last time I was at the Restaurant Depot, well, the meat aisle was damn near empty. The time after that, I was able to get, you could have gotten a whole choice ribeye that you could slice yourself. It was like $8.50 a pound. But you know what? They were very light. They had been totally picked over. There was like nothing left. So whatever inventory they had was, the restaurateurs realized the price was going up, I think, faster than the Restaurant Depot, and they just bought them out. But, David, we got, you know, the market obviously doesn't seem to have, it's got a bid under it, it appears. Famous last words.
Yes, well, Fed bid.
But the thing that's concerning me is we are up, you know, we're up $3 trillion in the balance sheet, and we had this huge run-up. Okay, then we started the slide again, and all of a sudden Europe came out with another trillion. So we bounced back again. And now we start to slide a little bit, and last week there was talk of a $1 trillion infrastructure program, which the Fed's going to have to come up with another trillion because they're not going to borrow it. Who are you going to borrow it from? So, but are we at the point where, I mean, every time we pause, does it take like a trillion to get us going again? I mean, you know, these trillions are starting to be, what did Ditka say about Halas? He throws quarters around like they're manhole covers. You know, I mean,
and recognize the European was 1.1 trillion euros.
Yeah.
Not $1 trillion. So you can add another, you know, 20% on that.
Well, so, I mean, are we at the point here where if they just don't do anything, we can't go up? I mean, it appears they're going to do whatever they have to keep the thing up, at least until November, at least now if they can. But, I mean, we're again, I've been putting people's money to work and just keeping the puts tight, and I'm sort of happy to do it. I think, you know, because right now it looks like the path of least resistance would be up. Yet I
right.
like, but I don't trust it. You know, if there weren't puts, I would be real. If I only had one decision to make, buy or sell, I have a real problem just buying here.
No, I get it, and I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know that anyone does. while the concept of a trillion-dollar infrastructure, I think, is at least generally or hypothetically supported by the Democrats and the Republicans, because obviously we need it, and it would be good for the economy and good for jobs and all this other stuff, I don't think that the Democrats, you know, even with Biden, you know, having supposedly a 12 or 13 point lead, are likely to give, you know, Trump another arrow in his quiver to say, hey, you see what I did? I don't believe, I mean, I don't see, you know, the cost to the Democrats of holding off. I mean, even if Trump's elected, then, you know, they pass it and oh, good for us. And if Trump's not elected, they pass it and oh, good for us. So to me, it's a win-win if they don't pass it, even if they're in their minds and hearts, they want to. So I don't think that's going to happen. Is there going to be another stimulus where the government sends us $1,200 again because COVID's back, you know, in a second wave? I don't know the answer to that either. I think in general, you know, Trump and family would like to do that. Maybe the Democrats would support that. I can't sit here and say it's coming, but between the two of them, I would say another stimulus round from the government is more likely than an infrastructure bill.
I was just reading this morning that one of the banks came out and said they think the losses in the shale oil patch this year could approach $300 billion. David, these numbers, the airlines and the cruise lines and, I mean, obviously some of these buildings, if they're not going to get their leases or something, I mean, these numbers are reaching incredible levels. How the hell are we going to pay this debt back?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, my guess is that they'll push it off with their curb twists and this and that and the other to where, you know, our children, my children, and maybe even the one grandchild that I have, you know, that's going to be the generation that pays. Someone will have to eventually. They'll push it up. I mean, look, you know, Apple with 100-year bonds and, you know, Amazon entertaining the idea of 50-year bonds. And, you know, neither of them need the money at all, of course, but with rates this low, they say, hey, why not? So, you know, I think they'll just push it out generations as far as they can.
Well, is the, you know, it's always different this time. When you see the amount of wealth continuing to seemingly convalesce into a smaller and smaller group of people, you know, every time it's happened before, David, it's not been healthy. I mean, the highest concentration of wealth ever in this country was in 1929, and look how that ended up. You know, not so hot. But it doesn't mean that has to happen again. It may not.
I do think, yeah, and I agree with you, and I'm not saying it will or won't, because I don't honestly know. I don't know if anyone does. I do think the reason that this time might be, I do think that you have a point. Sooner or later, someone's going to have to pay, whatever generation it is. On the other hand, as far as the wealth distribution and the like, I do think that, you know, technology to an extent, not fully, but to an extent, has made this time different. They didn't have the technology in 1929, you know, or even in 2007-08 that we have now.
They don't, but they were the technology was probably even growing at just as fast a rate as ours, maybe even more.
No, about 29. I think the inventions, the technological inventions in the last 20 years is more than the previous 100 years before that.
Well, but I mean, all you have to do is go to the Auburn Museum or the Wright-Patterson Museum, and the advances in automobiles and in air travel and those kinds of things was light years. And look, you know, look what that did when you put, you know, 100 million cars on the road, for God's sake. And look what you did. Yeah, but I'm having a problem, and we have a minute here too, so you're not going to solve it for me to say. I'm having a problem. Let's say, for instance, that we can give United Airlines, I'm just using them as an example, because they're the ones that have been out there and saying, you know, we're 40 million a day, we're losing, and by the end of the year it might be down to 30. Let's say we get them enough loans to where they quote make it in a year, which I hope by the way they do, and it's 18 months, 2 years from now, and they're just starting to go, a little bit cash positive where they can... When do they become a real company again, David, to be able to send somebody a dividend? And I mean, how many years are we talking?
If you know, a lot of that's going to depend on vaccine, whether it's prophylactic or therapeutic. And I truly believe we'll see that in the first quarter of 2021, how long it'll be before they, you know, can put 80% of the people in the plane and become cash positive. I got to believe it's at least 2022, maybe 23 or 24.
Ugh. 30 million a day, that's a long time. David, thank you very much. Talk to you on Thursday. Okay. SP Futures down 20, up 22, sorry. NASDAQ Futures up 74. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's, get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early. I
got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.